Welcome to the morning worship service of First Presbyterian Church, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida. Be blessed as you join us for worship today.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. We come to worship and rejoice the one who is with us. Let us worship God as we stand together.
That we
Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship you today in beauty and holiness. Lord, you are the reason we are here. You are the reason of this season of the year. When we pause to dwell on your coming to be our Lord and Savior, and then coming as a babe, having your earthly ministry, and then dying on the cross for our sins, and then raising again on that third day, and going to heaven to prepare a place for us. Thank you for all those wonderful promises you give us, and thank you for the peace that you bring to our lives. We pray this in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you remain standing as we read the scriptures today for our Advent? Jim and Sharon Golf will be lighting our Advent candle of peace. But we have the scripture on the screen. And in reverence to the Word of God, let's read together the scripture, Isaiah 41 through 11, and then Mark 1, 1 through 8. Let us read together.
Comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken, the word of God stands forever. The voice says, cry, and unto the voice of God. Waters is grass, all its beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the living people are grass, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain. Herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold the God of might. And his arm removes from him. Behold his reward is with him, and his content before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are without. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger for you from your face, who will prepare your way. Voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make the path straight. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judah and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized. Confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore leather around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of those sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with fire. The word of the Lord. Be seated.
Our lives are long, even in this strange mess where we live these days. And we want to do it right. We want to be safe, but we want to be able to enjoy the season. We've got work to do to put right what has gone wrong, to heal what is broken, to mend the relationships, and prepare for the company that will come.
The prophet Isaiah reminded us that there is work to be done. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. When God comes in, then healing is to be found. But we need to make the way. We need to open the door into our lives.
So we light these candles as a sign of our faith that the God we worship is not far from us and that we can clear the way for that God to come and dwell with us. We light these candles in promise the company is coming.
O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you, Jim and Sharon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Actually, let's say our prayer of confession as printed there for you in our bulletin. As I've said before many times, the wonderful part of Presbyterian worship is we get the opportunity to bring our corporate prayer of confession, as well as to pray our silent prayers of confession. So with that in mind, and as we come together as a body of believers, let us pray together our prayer of confession as printed in your bulletin. Lord, Christmas peace, we have done wrong. We have tarnished the gift you freely. We have buried you so deeply in our hearts, the world doesn't see you. We have not followed Christ. We have ignored your teachings. We have lived lives of apathy against your love. We have built fences and fortresses to push people away, and we have silenced the screams of those in need. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from our sin. Free us from our captivity. Free us to life and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let's bring our silent prayers to the Lord. Tells us if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that he'll remember our sins as far as the east is from the west. Our sins, as we have asked, are forgiven. Praise be to God. Now would you stand as we profess our faith in Jesus Christ by saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He ascended into heaven. He is on the day he rose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, and tonight the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Friends, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Time of year. Today, your prayers have been answered. You're going to be singing some Christmas carols, as well as next week and the next week, a whole medley of them. So I hope you enjoy them, and it is the time that we sing that and think about our Lord coming to earth. So let's begin as we sing together, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Reconcile, joyful
Amen. You may not have been in the choir, but you sang a choir arrangement just then. You did a very good job at it. Now, before you're seated, Sharon, I want you to turn around in the front. You people in the back, look this way. Our people in the front, and you wave back and forth and greet each other this morning. Okay, you may be seated, and we want to welcome back a couple of people. Darlene Smith had some procedures done a few weeks ago, and she is back right over here. It's good to have you back, Darlene. Fran Ussery is back with us. Fran has been out. She had a kind of a battle with her home. She was having some work done, and things happened there. She kind of had a little accident, but she's back with us. Fran, good to see you. And there was one other person I thought that was. Well, if you're back and you haven't been here in a while, I'll be back. But we do have a guest from today from St. Mary's, Georgia, who's visiting us, who's a member of St. Mary's, First Presbyterian in St. Mary's, Georgia. We're delighted to have you in our worship today. I want to remind you a few things. First of all, we still have the stockings back there for the women's circle. They're being collected today, I think, is the last day, and there's quite a few back there. Great job doing that. And if you brought yours, please turn those in. It is completed today. Also, on the greeter's table is a Spirit of Christmas brochure. And Ken Durkee is going to come and address that in just a second. We also want to tell you that after the service today, we have our Bible study with Michael Nelson. It is meeting in the choir room through December 20th. So after worship today, you may go and be a part of that. We are having our New Year's Eve service. It'll be at 5 o'clock. We need you to register. Gosh, I won't get through to the new year. Okay, we're actually going to have a Christmas Eve service on December 24th here in this room. Okay. And so, in order for you to come, you need to make a reservation. It doesn't cost you anything, but we've got to make reservations. So if you have a family members that want to come, you want to get let us know that. You can call the church office or go online and do that. We would appreciate that. But we can take up to 175 people in our sanctuary, and so we would like you to be a part of that. But please register, if you would, for Christmas Eve. There will be no New Year's Eve service. It'll be Christmas Eve. Also, reminding that December 20th, our choir, our singers, the COVID choir, will be singing Agnus Dei on December 20th. A wonderful music of praise and worship. I hope that you will be a part of that on December 20th at 10:30 a.m. And then the two circles meet tomorrow. The afternoon circle will be meeting at 1 o'clock in Towers Chapel, and then the evening circle will be meeting by Zoom. And I'm sure you know all the particulars on that. Will the youth be having their luncheon today? The youth will be having lunch today after the service as well. All right, Ken, if you will come and give us your moment of mission, please.
Good morning. On the at the rear of the church, you'll see a little brochure that looks like this. It's called The Spirit of Christmas. And the reason that we publish this each year is that many of our missionaries that are, some are overseas and some are here in America, have found out that because of COVID, their giving is down. And each year we've had this brochure made out, but this year it's kind of special. And if you're touched by this and want to help these folks that have been sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in America and around the world, I'd like to help them out. Please pick up the brochure. And if you would, if there's a particular ministry that you like, you can write the amount in there. For those of you that may recall, a little over a year ago, we had all the missionaries in for a missions conference. And they were set up over here in the Covenant Hall. And if you had a chance, you had a chance to speak to them and say hi and find out what they do. And the purpose of that was so that you could meet them. You know, a lot of times churches have missionaries, but no one ever sees them. And obviously, just let you meet and greet and say hi to them and get to know them a little bit. And so if it touches your heart and you want to give a little something, please pick this up. It's in the back of the church and make a donation. Yes, love. And the people at home, thank you, dear. You know, at 75, it's hard to get through a day without having help from my bride, and I mean that sincerely. For those of you that are home that would like to donate, please contact Ann at the church, and she can take whatever information you need to give. You, if you need a copy, she can get it to you by email, and then you can meet. So for those that are here and those that are watching, hope that you'll participate. Thank you, son.
Also, I want to remind you that our devotional books, the extra ones came in, they're on the table in the back and over here to the side. Make sure you take one of these. It's a great resource to celebrate the Advent season with these devotionals. And then you'll have some people who are blankets to put around as we blanket Jackson with these. We give to those who need them on the streets and so forth. And bring your be blessed by that, and the people that get them will also be a few people asking for those from time to time. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer as we pray together. God, on the second Sunday of Advent, we have heard your servant crying out in the wilderness. We have heard the call to repentance and restoration, and we want to respond. We have heard that you are offering forgiveness of sins, and we want to hear your mercy spoken over us.
We have heard that you are baptizing with water and with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Cleanse us and make us new. We have heard that you are ushering in a reign of peace, and we want to see your kingdom when it comes. God, our sins are many, but your mercy is great. Our vision is dim, but your kingdom is at hand. Our hope is feeble, but your promises stand forever. God, your world stands in need of you. Everywhere we look, we see need of you. For your coming, your restoration, your peace, your transformation. On the second Sunday of Advent, we pray for the nations to know your truth and your light. We pray for the poor, the hungry, and the needy. We pray for those who are spiritually hungry and poor in spirit. May they come to know the living water and to drink deeply from your well. We pray for those who face Christmas alone, or illness, or homeless, or destitute. Jesus Christ, light from true light, be a light in the darkness. And God, we pray for those who are on our prayer list today. We want to remember Nan and Gordon's granddaughter and Tracy's niece, Savannah, has had a serious relapse of kidney disease. We pray for Judy Garshue's from infection. We remember Hal Rogers, Diane Ross, Jeanette Rogers' mom, Jen and Albert Lawrence as they're recovering from COVID. We continue to remember Sarah Gonzalez as she battles this cancer. For Mary Clayton, for Maureen Frankie in rehab, for our brother Martin Wood, who has leukemia, and Ruby Doherty's loved ones who are suffering with many issues. Lord, we continue to remember our shut-ins, those in law enforcement, our first responders. We pray for our president and our leaders who lead us. Lord, cause them to put their eyes and their focus on you. God, the hour of your coming again draws near. Make us ready in our hearts, minds, and our souls. Lord Jesus Christ, come to us again this Advent. Come and do not tarry. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. stand, please.
Today is Communion Sunday. We'll be observing the ordinance of Holy Communion following the sermon today. Christmas is kind of a big deal in Finland. And there's a great tradition that happens there every year. In fact, it is almost every year since the 1300s. That's a serious tradition, going on for more than 700 years. It's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. It is declared every Christmas Eve, and it reads like this. Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all. By advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly, because he who breaks his peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall, under aggravating circumstances, be guilty and punished according to what the law and statute prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of the city. You'd better not mess with the Finns' Christmas peace, or you'll be dealt with harshly. But what a great way to usher in Christmas with a reminder of Christ's coming and the peace he brings into the world. We began journeying this past week toward Christmas. We are celebrating Advent. As a quick recap, the word Advent means coming or arrival, and the season is marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. It is not just an extension of Christmas. It is a season that links the past, present, and future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert for his second coming. During Advent, we wait for both. It's an active, assured, and hopeful waiting. Each week, we're focusing on a different attribute of God represented in the coming of Jesus: hope, peace, joy, and love. Each of these traits leads us into a rediscovery of Christmas. And today, we are going to rediscover peace. We are also looking at different characters in the biblical story, how they all encountered the arrival of Jesus in the world. When we think of peace embodied in the Christmas story, we can't help think of the shepherds. They were the unlikely recipients of God's message of peace. Let's read Luke's account about them together. It's such a beautiful, almost poetic passage of Scripture. Maybe that's especially true for those of us who grew up watching Linus recite it in a
Charlie Brown Christmas, when he tells Charlie Brown, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. It's a great moment in TV history. But long before TV was a man, it was a beautiful, inspired book in chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Now, a special treat this morning, I've asked Lina to come and share his reading of the Christmas story. So pay attention to the screen.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born today in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. He shall be unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Continue reading at verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told them. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Wow, that's so much in these paragraphs. To begin, this is like God's birth announcement to the world. And what a way to announce a long-awaited event happened in such an unexpected way. In the middle of a dark and ordinary night in the Bethlehem countryside, an angel appears in the sky and then is joined by a sky full of angels. The New Living Translation calls them the armies of heaven. And it's hard to imagine just how magnificent and bright and terrifying and glorious a sight like that must have been. And then there's the sound. All together, these incredible angels are praising God, probably singing and declaring and on peace on earth to humanity. What language or languages are they speaking? What kind of melody and harmony? How loud must it have been? Or could anyone else hear it? Of course, the audience of this grand announcement, an amazing angelic show, must have been for the most important VIPs, the rich and famous and powerful, the kings and queens, and movers and shakers of the world, right? No, you know the story. It's those shepherds, those completely ordinary, average Joe, night shift working animal tenders who are the unlikely, unexpected recipients of this message of peace, wholeness, and God's favor. It's yet another scene in how God is perfectly flipping the script on what we humans would expect and plan to do if to us to save the world. But the whole experience certainly leaves us asking, why shepherds? Why the completely unrespecting and unassuming guys? Maybe it's because the shepherds actually tie many biblical threads together. First, the shepherds remind us that the patriarchs of Israel were shepherds and nomadic animal tenders, roaming the ranchers of the ancient world. Abraham was the original recipient of God's covenant.
that he would bless all nations of the world. And this promise was carried on through Abraham's ancestors, Isaac, Jacob, and beyond. David, Israel's greatest king, was first a shepherd as well. But the shepherds were every man. They were nothing special. They had no entitlement, no pride or arrogance, no religious bloating. They fit right into the process of introducing God's Messiah, a humble carpenter and a peasant girl as parents for the Son of God. A birth in a low stable surrounded by animals and rough and rugged shepherds out in the fields on the edge of the more refined civilization. These were the have-nots, the examples of God raising and using the humble and turning the world as we know it on its head. Those were considered by society to be the most holy, weren't given a place in the stable to kneel on holy ground and witness the arrival of the Messiah. These shepherds also signified Jesus' future ministry and teaching. Sheep might have been lowly animals, but they were very special animals in the Jewish culture. The Passover lamb was the sacrifice an ancient Jew would make during the most holy, important holiday. Its blood was the atonement for a person's sins, the cost that had to be paid to restore a person with God. And each time it was done, this sacrifice was a reminder of the original Passover and God's rescue and exodus of his people from Egypt. You and I know that Jesus was entering our world to fulfill his identity as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. He was the ultimate sacrifice and payment for our sins. His death did away with the need for these sacrificial lambs. His resurrection made it possible for us to fully be restored in our relationship with God. His life made it possible to experience true peace, shalom, in the Hebrew language and culture. Word and concept that encapsulate the completeness and wholeness of God's original creation. It's probably for all of those reasons that God sent his angelic messengers to announce the birth to his son to the shepherd. It certainly reminds us that God's favor is not based on human standards. His favor is not on those who humbly acknowledge their brokenness and accept the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love that Jesus brings. Peace is not based on class or position or occupation, but on God's purpose and design to bring good news that will cause great joy for all. I think the shepherds also lead us into several insights about our own intersection with God's peace. Number one, peace comes in the midst of our storms. Most of us, if not all of us, have experienced a hurricane. Have you ever been through the eye of a hurricane? It's an eerie experience. You've seen it on the weather radar at the center of a circling storm, but there is truly a stillness right at the center of the melee. There, the winds calm, the rain ceases. It's a pause in the maelstrom. It's temporary. It doesn't last. And then those winds start howling again, this time in the opposite direction. It's kind of like those freeze frame moments in a movie when everything slows down to one pinprick moment of reality while life or chaos or catastrophe happens all around the character like a brief millisecond of clarity or pause. Let me ask you, how is your Christmas season going? How does your Christmas season typically go? If we're honest, we might choose words like busy, hectic, or frantic to describe our lives this time of year, or maybe all year around. Maybe it's an overloaded schedule that robs you of peace. Or maybe it's something more, relational conflict,
pressure at work, a lost job, illness, you name it. We have plenty of options to choose from this year. For many of us, peace sounds like a long way off, a good idea, a nice thought for the holidays, something we long for. If this is where you find yourself today, let me encourage you that Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our peace and hope and joy. He is there with us when love seems lost and the way forward is totally unclear. But this is where God appears. This is where the Christ child is born. This is where the angels show up. In the midst of Israel's dark night of Roman oppression and centuries of suffering and wondering, where is God? In the middle of a world turned upside down for a young Jewish couple who had found themselves at the center of cosmic events, while at the same time trying to navigate the normal life realities of paying their dues by traveling by foot across the country to be counted by the government, and having to experience childbirth for the first time far away from home without the support and care of the women and midwives who would have guided Mary through this painful process. And then being first-time parents, not only with the joys and wonder and fear and responsibility of having their first child, but God's child. In all of these circumstances, in all of these struggles, this is where God showed up. And this is where God continues to show up for us. In our pain, in our fears, in our confusion, in our grief, in our loss, in our uncertainty. I don't know every hardship you are facing today or every wince of pain you are feeling, but God does. He is there bringing peace to calm your heart, peace that defies your circumstances. Number two, peace does defy our circumstances. That's great for you to say. It sounds nice, you might be thinking, but you don't know how much it hurts. No, I'm sorry. I can only imagine how awful it is, and I can only agree with you of how unfair it is. Let me encourage you, there is a peace that is deeper. There is a peace about your circumstances. No, in the face of all you are feeling and all you have gone through, God's peace just doesn't make sense. But it's real, and it is healing, and it can guard your heart from continuing wounds. And it can protect your mind from the onslaught of anxiety. The Apostle Paul describes the process like this in Philippians 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice, for your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me encourage each of us today, no matter what we are facing, that this process begins with us turning to God, bringing our heart, our hurts, and our questions, and our doubts, and whys, and needs to Him. As Paul says it, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I don't pretend to fully understand, but there is a power in prayer and transformation that grows from gratitude. It's not the power of getting what we want or convincing God to see things our way. We can try, and He will listen. But much more than that, the power of prayer happens in the experience of peace as our perspective changes and finds an understanding that God is with us no matter what. He's got this. He can be trusted. He is enough. And then finally, peace is a person. It all comes back to a person. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. For he himself is our peace, Paul says in Ephesians 2:14. And long before his arrival on earth, the prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. There are political sounding tones in this message. If you can see why the Jews wanted their political freedom and independence, were eager to see a political Messiah. And more importantly, there are tones of the completion of Christ's work and his eventual establishment of God's kingdom. But most of all, this child that is born, this son that is given to us, brings the power and rule of his peace into our personal lives. He is the bringer of peace between us and God. He is the sacrificial lamb, the giver of life. He is the embodiment of shalom, wholeness that we find in relationship with him. Jesus is the God who has come to be with us, and he offers us this invitation in this Advent season and always. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is that not an offer of peace? Let's let those words wash over us this morning. And in the second week of Advent, let me encourage you to look to the Prince of Peace. Even when the winds blow and the storms swirl, let me encourage us all to come to him and worship like the shepherds. And even when we find ourselves in the darkness of our storms, let me remind us to come to him, because he is here. The Prince of Peace is with us. May Jesus be your peace this week, guarding your soul with peace, filling your spirit with the wholeness of shalom, and ruling as the Prince of Peace in your heart. Amen. We come now to the time where we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist. And friends, the table is for you who have forgiven, who have been forgiven of your sins through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus gave this sacred tradition to us, his church. Do not think that you can only receive the Lord's Supper if you are perfect. You cannot come perfect. Jesus alone is your perfection. So you are invited to come broken, but hopeful, believing, and repenting. If you are not a Christian, the bread and the cup is not something you should receive. Only those who have received Jesus should receive communion. We encourage you to use this time as a time to consider the offer of forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus holds out to all who are willing to receive him. Place your hope in him. You may not take communion today, but you can come to Jesus today and find eternal life, which is what this is all about. And so as they were eating, he took bread,
And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Father, bless now as we celebrate our remembrance of you by the receiving and taking of the bread and cup that symbolizes our faith and trust in you. Amen. I trust everyone has a communion. This is kind of how we're doing it during the COVID time. So we ask if you would to take the top off, and you'll find a wafer there. And Jesus said, "Take, this is my body, which is broken for you." And of course, in the same manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "This is the blood of my covenant. Take and drink all of it." All right, let's stand together as we sing our closing proclamation. We'd like to announce to you that beginning on the first Sunday in January that Greg Cruz will be coming to be our transitional pastor. And so I'm just going to tell you to hold on. He's coming and things will be different, I can assure you. So he'll be coming on the first week in January and then preaching until we find a new pastor, which is not anytime soon. So you don't need to start, you know, trying to find your search committee because it ain't happening. It's going to be a long time before we do that. But Greg will lead us through this time, and we're delighted that he can come and share with us. I trust you have a great week. Don't forget your devotionals and all the other little things that you're supposed to do before you leave today. And just know that the Lord loves you, and his blessing be upon you. May you go out in peace to love and serve him today. And in this Advent season, may you experience the peace that only Christ can give. Amen.